Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. A Reuters poll out today, if you haven't heard this yet, finds that Americans support President Obama's nuclear deal on first blush. That's the deal with Iran, by a 2-to-1 margin. And overwhelmingly, Americans are wary of a military strike in Iran, even if they continue to develop a nuclear weapon. But as you've also been hearing, some Democrats have broken with President Obama on this interim agreement. One of them is with us now, Congressman Elliot Engel of Westchester and the Bronx, who was the first Democrat up on the Sunday talk shows, if you were up early watching CNN's State of the Union at 9 o'clock, calling the deal very disappointing. Let's hear his views. Congressman Engel, welcome back to WNYC. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone. Thank you.
And do you really oppose this? The U.S. got Iran to de-enrich uranium from 20% to 5%. You need 90% enrichment to make a bomb. And they have to de-link the centrifuges, according to the president's fact sheet, leaving them inoperable. And they agreed to daily inspections by the U.N. weapons inspectors, all for lifting a fraction of the economic sanctions. This isn't a meaningful step away from the brink.
Well, look, Brian, the administration has decided to go in a certain direction, and my view is that we've got to do everything we can to make this work. I don't want it to fail. I want it to work. I'm skeptical about it, but and the main reason, there are many reasons to be skeptical. I think the bottom line is I just don't trust the Iranians. I think that they will cheat. And we have discovered in the past hidden facilities, which they didn't divulge. We really just don't know what they have now that's hidden. But the bottom line for me, and what made me upset about the agreement, is there have been numerous Security Council resolutions, six of them, calling on Iran to stop enriching. And I would have thought that as part of this agreement, Iran would have been required to abide by the Security Council resolutions. I don't think it's asking too much of the Iranians to say, while we're talking these 6 months, you stop enriching.
And the fact to go to zero, in other words, rather than 5%.
That they would just stop enriching. I mean, the international community has called on them again six separate times in Security Council resolutions. So to me, it's a no-brainer. And I don't understand why that wasn't part of the agreement. I'm told that the Iranians wouldn't go for it. Well, if they're not going to go for something this simple, the whole purpose of these talks are to say to the Iranians at the end of these talks, we hope we have an agreement, and the agreement, the premise will be that you, Iran, will not have nuclear weapons. So if that's the premise, and Iran is agreeing ostensibly to talk with that premise, why wouldn't they abide by the Security Council resolutions and stop enriching?
But you know that if there's a permanent deal after the six-month trial period, it seems like it will include the right for Iran to have a nuclear energy program, though not a weapons program. That would mean that they would continue to enrich at 5% or whatever the number is for an energy program. And it seems like the Obama administration has basically agreed to that principle as part of the framework for a permanent deal. Are you opposing that? And would you oppose that if that was part of, you know, something that came down the pike 6 months from now?
Look, I'm not opposed to any country having nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. I think there are lots of ways that you could try to check that. But I think Iran, given the bluster and their past behavior, causes me and others in Congress to be very, very wary. As I said, the president's decided to go in a certain direction, and I hope it works. But I think it's also important for those of us who are skeptical to raise these voices because Iran has cheated before. You know, we had negotiations with North Korea several years ago, something very, very similar to this. And the North Koreans, as it turned out, lied. And their program continued, and their program, they've now just restarted their reactor. I wasn't a big fan of Ronald Reagan, but he used to say, verify, trust but verify. This needs to all be verified.
And I think absolutely, and the president is saying that, And he's saying you can't trust Iran, you have to verify. But you're one of those talking about imposing new sanctions during the six-month interim period of this deal. Iran says that would scuttle the deal. Do you really want to go there?
No. Well, let me put it this way. First of all, there is no doubt in my mind that it was sanctions that brought Iran to the table. Iran's economy is hurting. Their currency is worthless. They can't get goods into Iran. It's the sanctions that did it. We passed our sanctions in the House unanimously out of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Every Democrat and every Republican voted for it, and then it passed on the House floor 400-20. So that's pretty overwhelming. The Senate, I thought, should have immediately after that passed the sanctions, but they dragged their feet. And so now the president has called on them to hold up the sanctions while they're talking. I don't think that's an unreasonable request. So I think the Senate should have the sanctions ready to go at a moment's notice if it's determined that Iran is cheating. But the president has made a request, and I think the Senate has to respond to it.
So you are not one of those saying, let's pass a sanctions bill now anyway and threaten this interim deal?
I think that we have to work with the administration, and I think it's counterproductive to start fighting. But I'm not that happy about it. But this is the way it is. And again, my bottom line is we've got to do everything we can to make this work. If the administration thinks that sanctions are an impediment, then I think we. First of all, it's not my decision; it's the Senate's decision. So we've already done our sanctions, but I think the Senate should have those sanctions ready to go at a moment's notice. If it's determined that the Iranians are not being truthful or are playing us.
And what would you use the sanctions for? You talked about how when the sanctions were in place, that brought them to the table. Well, they came to the table for something, not nothing, presumably. So if they offer to freeze the program like this for a trial period of 6 months, and we said no, and tighten the screws on their economy even more, as you've wanted to do, then why not think they would definitely make a bomb because they have no negotiating partner, and then the U.S. would have to get involved in a war in order to stop them?
No, nobody wants a war. I don't want a war. I mean, I would be perfectly fine with an agreement like this if Iran had to stop enriching as part of this agreement. I'm really troubled by the fact, and again, you know, if we pass these Security Council resolutions and they're supposed to mean something, how can we just toss them away because it's convenient? What I'm afraid is that I want to deal with Iran, but I want a verifiable deal. I want a deal that really works. I don't want a deal at any cost. You know, the Secretary Kerry has said many times, and this is a quote, a bad deal is worse than no deal at all, and I believe that. The question is, what is a bad deal? We don't know. These 6 months, we'll find out. We'll see if the Iranians really, really want to do this.
Okay.
But you know what? People say Rouhani is a moderate. I have my doubts. No moderates were allowed to run in that Iranian election, Brian. He was probably the least immoderate of all the hardliners. But he's a hardliner because the moderates were not allowed to run.
But doesn't that mean that the Iranian people defeated a more hardline candidate who would have been more like Ahmadinejad, who was such a horror show?
Yes.
Doesn't the U.S. gain more by a six-month test agreement to see if they're serious about rejoining the world community rather than by trying to further destroy the Iranian economy and isolate them when they do elect a somewhat more moderate person who seems interested in a compromise?
There's no doubt in my mind that the Iranian public is fed up with this theocracy. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Iranian public voted for Rouhani because he was perceived to be the most moderate of all the candidates. No doubt about that. And I'm happy about that. I think that the Iranian people don't like this regime and don't like the oppressive aspect of this regime. So, again, the president has done this, has said this. I want to repeat again, we've got to try to make it work, but I think that we have to be very, very careful and very, very skeptical of the Iranians. Just a few days ago, the Supreme Leader, who, by the way, I believe has all the power, not Rouhani, the Supreme Leader does, He was at a rally yelling death to America and death to Israel. He called Israel the rabid dog of the region. So the rhetoric hasn't stopped. I know Netanyahu has been tough with this, but Netanyahu is doing what he feels is best for his country. The rhetoric hasn't stopped. I again think that we need to trust but verify, and that's what I think we ought to do.
You mentioned Netanyahu. You're a strong supporter of Israel. But if you're doing this, speaking out against the president on behalf of Israel, I wonder if
I'm doing it on behalf of Israel, not at all. I'm doing it on behalf of America because some of us have a lot of questions. You know, the Israelis, the Saudis, the Emiratis are all saying the same thing. Those countries that view Iran as an existential threat to them are all saying the same thing. And when Israel and Saudi Arabia agrees on something, it makes you scratch your head. They don't trust the Iranians. So, you know, again, I want a deal, but I want a good deal and a verifiable deal. I still have some questions about this deal. People have said that the IAEA inspectors will not be allowed to roam freely in Iran. They'll only be allowed at certain places. I don't know if that's true. I think we still need a lot of clarifications. But this is the way it is, and I hope it works.
Do you know your constituents? The national poll found 2-1 support for the deal. Do you think your district supports the anti-position, and do you think the American Jews in your district, of which there are many, obviously, support Netanyahu and the Israeli right, as opposed to those on the Israeli left and others who are in favor of this 6-month test?
Brian, my role as a U.S. congressman is not to represent Israel, for sure. It's not to represent American Jews. It's to represent my constituents. And some of my constituents may agree with me, and some might not agree with me. I don't think a good legislator takes a public opinion poll on every issue and puts his finger to the wind and decides what to do. I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. I've been on this committee a good portion of my 25 years in Congress, and I make a decision based on what I think is best for America. And that's my role, and that should be my role. I never get involved in politics in any other country but the United States, and whoever any other country elects as their leaders, in my capacity as ranking member, I work with them. I have a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions about this deal, and you know, again, I keep saying the same thing. I support the administration's quest to try to get Iran to not have a nuclear weapon. That's the bottom line. The question is, how do you get there?
Let me take one call for you before we run out of time from someone who might be in your district. He's in Larchmont in Westchester. Is that in your district?
That sure is, and I'm happy that it is.
And Iranian-American Parviz, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Happy Hanukkah and happy Thanksgiving.
And to you.
Representative Elliott, I love you. What I have to say is that if new sanctions, not by you, but other senators, are imposed on Iran, Iran will cancel the agreement. They have said it. So they go back to 20% enrichment. They keep the Arak plant that will produce plutonium. So what good does that do to America? I mean, for the interest of America, Mr. Obama has put a very reasonable agreement, and actually he is giving $7 billion relief to Iranians, but Iranians have lost $80 billion, which I think is cruel and not called for, because Iranians from the beginning have said we are not interested in a nuclear bomb. You see, in 2003, Mr. Zarif and Mr. Rouhani proposed this deal to America, to Mr. Bush, to President Bush, George W., and he rejected the same deal. At that time, they had only a few thousand, maybe less than a thousand, something like that, centrifuges. But now they have 19,000.
Parviz, why believe the leadership, though?
Okay, I believe the leadership now because Mr. Zarif was here. He was a representative of Iran to UN, and he was asked about Ahmadinejad, and he was asked about by a reporter about Holocaust. And he said, this is, quote, Holocaust happened. We have the evidence. We have the survivors. We have a lot of historical evidence. And we have to make damn sure it doesn't happen again.
Parviz, I'm going to leave it there. Congressman Engeligo, one person from the district, and we have a lot of other people calling in who we don't have time for.
Well, let me just very quickly say the gentleman is correct that we had plenty of previous administrations had plenty of time to deal with the Iranian nuclear program, and we didn't. And it's a subsequent it's a failure of several administrations. And you know, in President Obama's camp, he's now faced with Iran almost at breakout capacity, so he has to move quickly. There was opportunities under Bush and under others to take care of the Iranian nuclear program, and we didn't do it. So,
but isn't the lesson? We're almost out of time. But the case that he raises, when the last moderate Iranian president, Khatami, was in power before Ahmadinejad, and reportedly Christiane Amanpour was here saying the same thing yesterday, had this 2-year freeze on their nuclear program at that time and then offered a permanent deal to Bush, but Bush didn't take it.
Correct.
Do we want to miss an opportunity to take an opportunity again?
We don't want to miss an opportunity, and that's why we're negotiating. I don't think any of us want to miss an opportunity. The bottom line needs to be that Iran must not be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. And how you get there, there may be some differences, but we all have the same objective.
Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat from Westchester in the Bronx, I appreciate the conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.